Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. اما بعد اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ. The final messenger of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم reported to us said that whoever sends salat upon me 100 times in a day, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill 100 of his needs, 70 of them for his hereafter and 30 of them for this world. Sallu ala al-habib. We say it week in, week out, but try and make a habit of reciting Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The example that the hadith that we've just narrated now, in which the rewards are upon reciting it 100 times. I think even if you were to live in the nearest house to this Fazana Medina, if you were to live in the nearest house to this Fazana Medina, from the moment this Ijtima finishes and you get up and you go to the shoe area, put your shoes on, walk out the building and walk home, I reckon even if you live in the nearest building and you utilize all of that time, just that time, and in that time you could probably recite the Durood e Paak 100 times. So it's not a huge task, it's not a huge ask. You can be doing many other things at the same time, you can be walking, you can be doing what other tasks you're doing as well. So try and make a habit of reciting Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is narrated that the companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu, reports that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the last person to enter paradise will crawl on his stomach across the Sirat, just like when a son runs away from the beating of his father. This individual will be in a similar state because his deeds are not worthy of taking him across the Sirat. Whilst he crawls across the bridge, which is sharper than a sword and finer than a strand of air, he will call out to Allah, O Allah, make me reach paradise and grant me salvation from the hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jal will say to him, if I grant you paradise and save you from the hellfire, will you confess to all the sins that you have done and all the mistakes that you've made? The man will reply, yes, O my Lord, by honor and might, if you save me from the hellfire, I will confess to my sins. After that, he will cross this Sirat with ease. The man will then think to himself, if I confess to my sins now, I might get thrown into the hellfire. So whilst he is thinking this, Allah Azza wa Jalla says to him, confess your sins so I can forgive you and grant you paradise. The man will respond, O my Lord, by your honor and might, I've neither committed a sin nor have I made a mistake. Allah Azza wa Jalla will then say to him, I have witnesses against you. The man will look around and not see any witnesses. And he will say, O Allah, who are the witnesses? And upon the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla, his skin will speak. And his skin will list every minor sin that he has committed. Now that individual will realize that there is no escape for him. And he will say, my Lord, by your honor and might, I've committed major sins as well. Allah will then say to him, I know. Confess all your sins and I will forgive you and grant you paradise. Then he will admit all his sins and only then will he be admitted into paradise. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then goes on to say that he will be of the lowest rank in paradise. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive the sinner and grant him paradise despite all of his debts. Undoubtedly, this is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, but we need to reflect upon the situation, how great the situation is. On that day, excuses will not work. You'll not be able to make any excuses. Nowadays, if someone sees you doing something or is suspicious of you doing something, even nowadays with artificial intelligence, when people have got videos of you doing things and sound bites of you doing things, you can say, no, that's not me. You can reject it. And there's no way that you come to someone conclusively prove something. But on that day of judgment, your excuses will not work. On that day, you will not be able to make any excuses. Everything will be clear to you because there'll be so many witnesses to the sins that you have committed. You know, many times, you've heard that sometimes when I do the dua, I say that, you know, we switch off the light and think nobody will see us. We close the door and think nobody will hear us. We go to different places in different cities and think nobody knows us here. I can do what I want. Nobody knows me. We delete things on our phones and our PC tablets and think nobody will ever know. What I've been doing on my phone, what I've been looking at my phone, nobody will ever know that. We think to ourselves that nobody will ever find out these things. But Allah knows, Allah hears, and Allah sees everything. And if we think that today you can make a fool out of me, you can make a fool out of your parents, make a fool out of your parents and your friends, and convince them otherwise that you didn't do this, on that day it'll not work out. On that day, no excuses on that day, because there'll be so many witnesses. And inshallah, today we're going to mention some of them witnesses. Imam Hassan Basri, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, said that knowing why someone is ruined in the hereafter is not surprising, but knowing how someone attains salvation is. Allahu Akbar. On the day of judgment, the matter of accountability will be so severe that it is easy to become deserving of the hellfire. But attaining salvation and entry into paradise is extremely difficult. Again, this is another shaitanic whisper. We think to ourselves that the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is great, and without it, doubt it is. There is no more merciful, nobody more merciful than Allah Azza wa Jalla. But what we say to ourselves, well, Allah will forgive us. You know, you hear it, Allah maaf karne wala, Allah will forgive. And so we are fearful, we don't have that fear of committing sins. We'll commit sins and think, well, Allah will forgive us, Allah will forgive us. And we also have this false pretense that, you know what, I've got plenty of time to repent now. I'm only young now. You know, when I get old, then I'll spend the time in the masjid. When I get old, I'll do this and I'll do that. And I'll repent from all those things. Let me enjoy myself now. You know, this again is shaitanic whispers, because you don't know if you're going to get old. You don't know if you're going to get that opportunity. And so we need to have this constant fear inside ourselves that we may be held accountable for the smallest sin. And we use this term very easily, the smallest sin. The scholars are here today. What is the smallest sin? What is the punishment for the smallest sin? What is the smallest punishment in the hellfire? I remember a couple of years ago reading that someone wrote that if at the moment in this world there are 7 billion people, the 7 billion people that are in this world today, the pains and the difficulties that they are going through, some have got headaches, some have got broken legs, some have got abdomen problems, all sorts of problems, cancers, diseases, everything, you name it, all around the world. How many people are ill? Only Allah knows. Only Allah knows what suffering they're all going through. But the writer, he wrote, if you were to put all of that suffering into one person, the suffering and pain that 7 billion people are facing today, put that into one person, the pain and the suffering that that one person would feel would be less than the lightest punishment on the hellfire. But we don't care. We'll worry about it later. We'll see. Nothing to worry about. My dear stone brothers, we have arrived on this earth. But how will we get the salvation? How will we be able to recount for every deed that we have performed? Our book of deeds contains every minor and major sin, and it'll be handed over to us. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, the sinners will say, alas, would that I have not been given my record of deeds, and I had not known my accountability. Alas, would that it death had ended my matter. My wealth has not availed me. My power has gone from me. You know, we've said it many times, that we forget all the good deeds, that we forget all the sins that we've done. You remember the good deeds that you performed. You remember the Hajj, the Umrah, the Itaqaf, the Tarawih, the masjids that you built, the madrasas that you built, all of these people that you helped, all that money that you gave in Sadaqah. You remember all of that. But we forget the sin that we've committed. And them good deeds that you performed, how do you know whether them good deeds have been accepted? We've said that many times before as well. But what we need to be wary of is this, those sins that we have committed, we will be held accountable for them. And we need to think about that and worry about them and reflect upon them. And make ourselves realize that, yes, you know, I am going to get caught. In this country, you can commit any crime and there is a chance that you won't get caught. You'll never get caught. You can live a life of crime in this country or anywhere around the world and never get caught, and you'll know people like that. But when it comes to committing sins, you will get caught. There's no ifs, no buts, No clever lawyer is going to save you on that day. Nobody's going to save you on that day. You will get caught, and you need to realize this. When you break the law of the land in the back of your mind, you think to yourself, I'll never get caught. Even a small offense like speeding on the motorway, you think, I'm not going to get caught. There is a chance that there could be a hidden police car there, and you worry of that. But you take the risk and you think to yourself, I'm not going to get caught. And that's a calculated risk, that I might not get caught. But when it comes to committing sins, you will get caught. And we need to realize this. Think about how we will be held accountable on that day. Think about what's going to happen on that day. That book of deeds will be open in front of you. You will not be able to deny it. You're not going to say, no, that's not me. That was him. That was him. No, that's not me. It was someone that looked like me. No, I wasn't there on that day. You know, I was in such a... That won't wash on that day. Nothing will wash on that day. On that day, that book of deeds will be presented in front of us, and we will feel embarrassed. We'll feel ashamed. Allahu Akbar. On that day, every action will be brought before us. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, so whoever does a good deed equal to the weight of an atom, he shall see it. And whoever does an evil deed equal to the weight of an atom, he shall see it. Everything that you have done, every good deed that you perform will be there in front of you. Every bad deed that you perform will be there in front of you. Sayyidina Luqman Hakim, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, was the pious person of Allah. And the advice he gave to his son is mentioned in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O my son, if evil is equivalent of a mustard seed and a rock, or in the heavens, or in the earth, Allah will bring it forth. And He knows every detail. He is most aware. And we learn from this that no matter how minor a sin is, even if it is committed in seclusion, Allah Azza wa Jalla will reveal that to you on the Day of Judgment. A few years ago, and I don't know whether they're still available in the Maktabat al-Madina, I went in there just before, but I didn't see it. Dawah Islami made these stickers. They made them first in Urdu, and then they made them in English. The Urdu one says, Allah dekhrai. The English one said, Allah is watching you. I've got one in my office above the door. So when I'm sitting on my desk, I'm looking up, it's there, Allah is watching you. And that's a reminder for all of us. And I don't know if them stickers are still available. If they are, get them. Put them in those places where you are. Put a small sticker and you can remind yourself. Keep on reminding yourself that Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you. We have this again, this, nobody's looking. I'm here on my own. Nobody's looking. Allah is watching you. The scholars have said that there will be six witnesses to you. Six witnesses will witness what you have done. Not one, not two. Six witnesses. The first witness, the earth. The earth on which we walk upon every day. And we feel no shame for committing any sins. We feel no shame for any sins that we committed on this earth. This earth will testify against us. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, on that day, the earth will narrate all of its news. So tell me, where can you go and commit a sin now and not be found out? Because the earth will narrate to you on that day. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, on that day, the earth will narrate all of its news. Then he said, do you know what the earth's news is? And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know best. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, he said, indeed, its news is that it will testify against every servant, male and female. And it will say that he did such and such on such and such day. This is the news that the earth will have. Sayyidina Abu al-Mahli, Ramutullah, had a habit of remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla when he was traveling. And if he forgot to perform zikr, when he was traveling, he used to perform. You know, we said earlier on that if you're on the way home, recite Durood e Pak. This, the pious predecessor, if you look at how they lived their life, this particular pious predecessor, whenever he was going somewhere, he would do the zikr of Allah. And if something happened, that on that journey, on that walk, whatever he was going, he didn't do the zikr of Allah, he would go back, repeat that journey, and do the zikr of Allah. Because he wanted the earth to testify for him that this person did zikr of Allah on this day in this place. You know, you see people when they're reading the namaz, they read the farz. And after the farz, when they're reading the sunnah and nafl, they move to another place. They move to another place in the masjid. And the hikmat behind this is that they want that piece of ground to testify for them. That I read my four farz here, my two sunnah there, two nafl. And people do it like that. And there's nothing wrong in that. But do we ever have this mindset that we want the earth to testify for us? That wherever we go, but in the same way that the earth will testify our good deeds, it will also testify our bad deeds as well. The second and the third witness, the day and the night. The day and the night. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when every day begins, it announces, O son of Adam, I'm a new creation to you. Whatever you do in me today, I will be a witness against you on the day of judgment. Therefore, perform good deeds so I can testify in your favor. When I leave you, you will never see me again. And again, this is a thought that we need to have. Today will never come again. 2024 is finished. 2024 will never come back again. It'll never come back again. No matter how wealthy you are, no matter how powerful you are, 2024 is gone. The year of 2024 will remember what you did. You can't run away from it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the night also says this when it arrives. In the same way that the day says, I am a witness, the night is a witness. So now, all the earth will testify against you. The day and the night will testify against you. Then the fourth witness on the day of judgment are the noble scribe angels who record our deeds. Angels that are there for us, recording everything that is there. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and surely there are guardians appointed over you, honorable scribes, they know whatever you do. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man is oblivious to his purpose in life. When Allah intends to create a human, he commands the angel, write his sustenance and his time of death. The angel writes this and then leaves. Then another angel is appointed who protects the child until he is born. When the child is born, two angels are stationed with him who record his good and his bad deeds until he dies. Allahu Akbar. And they go to the heavens once he dies. On the day of judgment, the angels will return to him and place his book of deeds around his neck. One angel will take him to the plane of judgment and the other will be his witness. Four witnesses all again. Fifth witness, the book of deeds. Allahu Akbar, what will be in our book of deeds? The book of deeds that records everything that we have done. The companion of the Prophet Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all the book of deeds are beneath the throne of Allah. On the day of judgment, Allah will send forth a breeze making these books fly into the air and land into someone's right hand or someone's left hand. The Quran states, it will be said, read your record of deeds. This day you suffice against yourself for reckoning. Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah said, everyone will read the book of deeds regardless of whether they knew how to read in the world or not. You may think, I don't know how to read. How am I right? No, whatever, even if you don't, on that day you will read that book. On that day you will not be able to hide from it. Allama Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah states that when people are given the book of deeds on the day of judgment, they will see that even every minor sin is recorded in it, causing them to lower their heads in shame and sweat profusely. Allah will say, oh people, raise your heads. Do you remember this sin? Someone will say, my Lord, I swear by your honor and might that I recognize it. Everything, your memory will revive. Today you may genuinely forget. You may have genuinely forgot the sins that you have committed. Because what's happened is we start committing sins, we don't even think about it, we forget about it and think, it's gone now, isn't it? And this again is another shaitanic whisper, that when we commit a sin, the pious people of the past have said, when you commit a sin, it's like planting a seed. If you plant a seed in the ground, and when you repent, you can take that seed out. But the longer you leave for you to repent, the harder it becomes to repent. Because that seed then starts to grow. Its root starts to spread. And it comes harder and harder and harder for you to repent. Why? Because you think, I've not been found out. So day's gone. A week's gone. A month's gone. A year's gone. Don't have to repent now, do I? And it becomes harder and harder. An example that the pious predecessors have said, that when you commit a sin, it's like putting a seed in the ground. It is easier for you to. And this is why the pious people said that when you commit a sin, repent straight away. Amir al-Sunnat in his pious deed booklet, he said, every day repent for your sins. Every day reflect on your good deeds. Get that booklet. Reflect on your deeds. Reflect on your actions. And in it, Amir al-Sunnat advises us to recite, do 2 rakah salatul tawbah every day. We should reflect every single day. A businessman, every single day, he calculates how much money he's earned. He calculates how much money he's earned and he also thinks to himself, oh, I made £200, but I could have made £300 if I'd done this. Do we ever sit down and reflect how many sins we've committed? Do we ever sit down and reflect how many good deeds we've done today? In the same way that you look at how much money you've made and how much more money you could have made. Do you ever look at your good deeds and think, you know, I could have done better today. I could have done more today. That time that I wasted on social media, at that time, I could have recited 500 Durood-e Pak. That time that I was there with my mates and we were just gossiping and backbiting, I could have done this. Do you ever reflect on the sins that you committed during the day and think to yourself, I made these mistakes during the day? A businessman looks at his losses and thinks, I made this loss today. I made this loss today. How can I make sure that I don't do that in the future? And he changes on how he lives his life and how he runs his business. We need to change how we live our life. But at the same time, we can't just go forward and forget what we've done. A businessman reflects on his mistakes and makes a change. But he can't go back and change it, what's happened. But with us, we can reflect on what we've done wrong, make a change in the future, but at the same time, we need to repent. Repent from them sins. And where possible, we need to make up for them sins. For example, if you've missed your salah, make it up. It's not enough to do tawbah. If you've missed fasting in the month of Ramadan, it's not enough to do tawbah. You need to make up for them as well. So I advise all the people that are here and watching on Madani channel, calculate. If you have missed salah in your life, calculate them. Make a note of them. There's a beautiful booklet, The Law of Salah. Amir Sunnat's book, The Laws of Salah. And in that, there is a booklet about how to make up missed salah. Either buy the book or buy the booklet. I don't know if the booklet's available because a lot of it's not been printed on it, but the book's available. And again, you can download it from the website. Get that booklet. And it advises you how to make up for your missed salah. Make up for your missed fast. Alhamdulillah, the time of the year. We're lucky in one way. I don't like these cold days, to be honest. I don't like these short days. But alhamdulillah, we are blessed in this country in the sense that with these short days, if you've got any missed fast, you can make them up very easily. Have a breakfast at 8, you know, about 6 o'clock in the morning, I think, for Seri starts it, something like that. Seri is about 6 o'clock in the morning. Have a breakfast. 4 o'clock is Maghrib. How easy is that? Make up for the missed fast. So repent, but also make up as well. The sixth witness. Our limbs, our body will be a witness against us. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, on the day when their tongues and their hands and their feet will bear witness against them concerning what they used to do. Alama Mahmud Alusi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala writes in his explanation of this verse, he says, on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant our limbs the ability to speak. Then every limb will testify as to how the person used them. How you use your hands, how you use your eyes, how you use your tongue, how you use your ears, how you use your strength. On the day of judgment, you will be questioned. How you use your youth, how you use your wealth, how you use your health, how you use your time, and how you use your life. Our eyes will say that he used to look at immodesty and watch movies. Our ears will say that he used to listen to music and take pleasure from listening to it. Our tongues will say that he used to backbite, slander and curse. No excuses are going to wash on that day. Khalifa Abdul Malik bin Marwan said to Sayyidina Mansur bin Amr, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he said, oh Mansur, I have a question for you and I'll give you 1 year to find an answer to it. The question was, who is the most intelligent person and who is the most ignorant person? Who is the most intelligent and who is the most ignorant? Upon hearing this, Sayyidina Mansur bin Amr, Rahmatullah, left the palace to search for the answer. He went into the open atmosphere. He returned to the palace and said to the Khalifa, O Mansur, Rahmatullah, I have found your answer. And he said, okay, tell me. He said, the most intelligent person is the one who remains fearful after performing good deeds. And the most ignorant one is the one who commits sins but does not fear the wrath of Allah. I'll repeat that. The most intelligent person is he who even after performing good deeds, he's still fearful of Allah. Because what happens with us, we think, oh, I did Hajj. So what have I got to worry about? I fasted in the month of Ramadan, so what have I got to worry about? I did Tarawih every single day in the month of Ramadan, so what have I got to worry about? I read 7 Quran in the month of Ramadan, what have I got to worry about? Every Jummah I give sadaqah, every day. And the most foolish person is he who performs good deeds and is still not fearful of Allah. We should always be fearful of Allah, no matter how many good deeds you have performed. We have to have that fear and that hope inside ourselves. And he went on to say that the one who commits The most ignorant person is he who commits sins but does not fear Allah. Allahu Akbar. Ask ourselves, when we commit sins, do we fear Allah? If we did, then we wouldn't be committing them sins. If we really did, then we would do our best not to commit them sins. Yes, we are human beings and human beings commit sins. But are we fearful of Allah in committing these sins? Abdul Malik bin Marwa started crying and he said, O Mansur, by Allah your answer is correct. He said to him, recite a verse of the Quran with regards to this. And Sayyidina Mansur bin Amr recited verse of Surah Al-Imran. Remember the day when every soul will be presented with the good it has done and what it has done evil. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh Sadi Shirazi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, said that some people were worshipping near the Kaaba when they suddenly saw a man hugging the wall of the Kaaba, crying and doing this dua. He said, O Allah, if my deeds are not worthy of being presented in your court, then raise me blind on the day of judgment. The people were surprised by this dua and asked him, O Sheikh, we ask to be safe on the day of judgment, but you are praying to be blind on that day? What is the reason for this? The man cried and he answered. He said, if my deeds are not worthy of being presented in the court of Allah, I wish to be blind, so I'm not humiliated in the front of all of creation. The people were amazed by this answer, and they asked who he was. The man replied that I am Abdul Qadir al-Jilani. My dear strong brothers and viewers up on the channel, we still have a chance. Our hearts are still beating. When they will stop, nobody will know. Nobody here, no matter how powerful you are, no matter how clever you are, no matter how much money you have, can write me a certificate and say to me that, brother, you will be alive by midnight tonight. In the same way, nobody can give you a certificate. So I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, whatever I have said today, if I've said anything wrong, then I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all think and reflect upon how we live our lives, the witnesses that are around us, on what changes we need to make in our lives. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we act upon what we have said today and pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib.
May you keep ascending success. Said, O Mubarak, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Said.